Hi guys, welcome to the fourth ever Mystery Nerdcast. I am your host, Chris Budamashingo. Today we are going to be talking about X-Men. With me I have my co-host, Miguel Torres.
Good evening.
And to my right I have one of my best friends in the whole wide world. I hope he'll be on future podcasts, and I hope he becomes a friend of the podcast, specifically Isaac Berlew.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
So, today we got for you X-Men. X-Men, something I think everybody in this room has been very passionate about at some point or another. We've all seen the movies. We've all, you know, watched the TV shows. We read the comic books at some point. I still read the new X-Men comic book, which is very interesting. So, we're going to be discussing that, kind of talking about not only the comics, but the characters, also the movies. Kind of going into it and just having a nerd discussion like we always do. So, one of the most basic questions I could come up with was, what do we love about X-Men? There's a lot to love about X-Men because there's such a varied cast. So, even if you don't like one person, you could like this other person. And it has a very rich mythology. And also, a lot of it is rooted in the real world as well. So I'm actually going to pass it off to Isaac, since this is his first time on the podcast.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm going to put him on the spot right here. Isaac, what do you love about X-Men? And what was, if you can remember this, what was the first time you were ever really exposed to X-Men? What was the piece of media that exposed it to you?
I don't exactly know how to answer those questions and in what order you want me to answer them in.
But I'll take any order. Any order. We're just trying to have a conversation here.
The first thing that probably turned me on to X-Men was, no joke, was the sex appeal. And I was probably, I think the first time I really started noticing a lot of it was probably almost at 12 or 13 years old. And Rogue, dude, it was all just super attractive redhead, just like, you know, she can fly. She's got that awesome green and yellow bodysuit. I was about it.
Yeah.
The white stripe in the hair. I was there.
Yeah, the skunk patch, dude.
Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it to you, man. Like, I was okay with that thing in the kind of late 90s or whatever, the clone hair where chicks would have like half white, half black hair.
Yeah.
A lot of people would way played that down. I thought it was super attractive. If they bring it back, I won't be mad. But anyway, I'm off topic.
That's okay.
I'm just letting you know. And that's really where I got started, is I saw this really super attractive individual and I was like, oh, like, that's a comic book? Like, I could check this out. And then, you know, around that time is the same time the cartoons were on television. So
yeah, it's the 90s cartoon.
That's right, dude. Yeah, those are the ones. There was actually the Pizza Hut down the street from my house. Literally had a special. If you got X pizza deal or whatever, you actually got a VHS, a limited collector's edition that I still have, if you guys ever want me to bring that by.
That's sweet.
A collector's edition, limited edition, little Pizza Hut, episode one of VHS of the cartoon. It was super cool. So I was like, okay, well, I'm already in on this Rogue chick. And then, of course, there was Gambit and then that guy's boss. And so I was like, okay, so I convinced my mom. I was like, you know, mom, I'm on the lawn. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll clean my closet. I'll clean your closet.
We need pizza right now.
Yes, it was right. Man, that's absolutely right. So, that's what we did. I mowed the lawn like three times, I think. I cleaned my room and I think I gave the dog a bath. I think is how that ended up working out. But got the Pizza Hut thing, got the movie, and me and my sister sat down and we popped it in. We both just sat there like, literally, like wide-eyed children. Exactly what we were. So, what do I love about X-Men? I love the fact that it's for anybody. I mean, unless you guys disagree with me.
Oh, no. That's why we're here. We all like X-Men.
Yeah, I think X-Men can appeal to anybody. I don't care who you are. I think you can be like 5 years, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old and pick out somebody simple, you know, one of the big name characters, even if it's Cyclops or Wolverine or whatever it is. You can pick a big name character and go, oh yeah, that guy's got something, you know, I would want that ability. I would want to be made of metal. I would want to be able to, you know, disappear through walls or shoot lasers from my eyes, you know. And not to say that, you know, Superman, Buddha's favorite person in the entire world, can't do all of those things. But, you know, it's kind of a cop-out. You know, you don't get to, you know, it's not like, well, I'll just be, you know, it's like, preschool, man. You're running around the schoolyard playing, You're like playing X-Men with your friends, and then there's that one asshole who walks up and goes,
well, I'm immortal! I can be
I'm Superman! I can do all the things! And it's like, oh yeah, whatever, dude. You can go sit over there.
This is an explicit podcast, by the way, so you can fuckety-fuck anything you want to do.
Yeah. But that's what I love about it. Is that it's a wide appeal. You can go anywhere in the world. You can, all the places I've been in the world. You can run into somebody and just like, you might not know someone and you can easily strike up a conversation just because they have, little X symbol on their keychain or, they've got something on their backpack, with Wolverine on it. And it's easy to start a conversation. It's just, oh, you like X-Men? Oh, yeah, man. I've been watching it since I was 10, since I was 12, since I was 15, whatever. So that's my thing is that I love that it's anybody. The whole world, it's the common language. You say X-Men, every nerd in the room's got a half mask.
Yep. What about you, Miguel? What do you love about X-Men and what got you into X-Men?
What got me into X-Men, it was the 1990s cartoon. I saw it when I was 8, and that was one of the first cartoons where I was like, man, this is like real time, you can relate to it, and it has all these weird abilities and powers. Especially at the time, my favorite was Iceman, of course, cool guy,
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. Yeah, of course.
I'm going to hit you.
That's fine. What really kept me into X-Men was all these powers. Like, even the most unusual power could be used for more than just battle. Like, example, Jubilee, Sparkle, Fireworks.
We don't talk about Jubilee.
Well, yeah. Why not?
She's cool.
Nobody talks about
Jubilee. Would you kick her out of bed?
I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
Well, I don't know what you're complaining about.
I wouldn't kick anything with two legs out of bed, though. So,
hey, sometimes I like a little fireworks. What do you want?
Oh, yeah. She'd make your bedroom light up.
Hey.
There you go.
Where's the sign-up sheet? I don't see the sign-up sheet.
Yeah, I mean.
So, I had a very different portal from either of you two. My mom actually was a comic book nerd, which is probably why I'm a comic book nerd. And she gave me...
Nerd!
Born and raised, motherfucker. So she had given me, when I was young, I wasn't very interested in reading, a lot like a lot of young children are, especially growing up in an age where television was so readily accessible. I'm like, why do I have to read my stories? I can just watch them on TV. And I did watch the X-Men TV show, but it wasn't really until I got into the comics that I was, like, extremely interested. My mom gave me a comic about a gentleman who happens to be my favorite X-Men, who I'm going to save for a later question. And from then on, I really dove deep into the X-Men universe and ended up liking a lot of the other characters that weren't necessarily that gentleman. And it just spiraled out from there, and I really nerded out when they released the first X-Men movie. It was really the thing. I mean, people say this all the time, but it was really the movie that kind of kicked off the whole age of superhero movies that we're in today. And X2 only solidified that. X-Men The Last Stand.
See, everybody gives that movie a bad rap. They really do. Oh, I apologize. It's not fair. When you have a big name movie company, I don't care who you are, if you're Universal, if you're Fox, if you're Disney, it doesn't matter who you are. You have to do whatever it takes to modify the story in such a way that benefits what you're doing. Because let's face it, they're not making the movies for us. They're really not. They're making it for a profit. Yeah. I mean, why does any movie company produce? When is the last time you heard, any, like J.J. Abrams? When's the last time that guy stood on a stage and was like, I'm really glad I made this movie for you guys. I put my whole heart and soul into this so you would all be happy. Oh, hell no.
Well, he kind of did for Star Trek, but I think
Star Trek is one thing, and that's a completely different genre.
Fairly true. I just think it's not even because they butcher storylines all the time for the movies. Like they did it with Captain America Winter Soldier, and that movie was great. I just think that movie, like, especially the one thing I think that really killed it for me.
Spoiler alert.
I think, spoiler alert, what do you mean? About the later question?
No, the movie.
Oh, the movie.
There are still people out there who haven't seen these movies.
Look.
In case, I know they might be living under a rock, but even the people under the rock have
There's a
iPods.
7 year
you
time.
You know this, you work at Apple.
Yeah, I do, I do. There's a time limit for spoilers. It's like, Darth Vader's Luke's father, what? Like, but I think
dude, there's some little kid out there crying right now. He's going to come and punch you in the junk.
Yeah, if anybody listens to this piece of shit.
Well, I do know someone who has never seen Star Wars.
I knew somebody who never saw Star Wars. I rectified that. Crystal. It wasn't even just the butchering. I don't think that movie was very well written. The pacing was weird, and they did butcher the Dark Phoenix storyline. I think they had, especially X2 set it up to where there was a real palpable kind of setup for the Dark Phoenix storyline, and then they went in another direction, which could be cool, but I don't think he made it cool. I was bored with that movie. The best line from that movie was an internet meme.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I was really happy when Deadpool got his mouth sewn shut, and then
that was Origins.
Oh, was that Origins?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's the other terrible X-Men movie. I
don't know why. Maybe I'm putting the two together, but
well, they blurred together.
Origins I liked better.
I didn't
than
like
the
how
last
they messed
stand.
Up Juggernaut.
Like, he's just some random guy who, like, shows up and he has no relation to Charles. And that's one of the most, like, the things that makes him the most interesting is his brother's a cripple and he's indestructible.
No, I understand. And that was the only thing that actually upset me about that movie was how they butchered Juggernaut.
Yes.
Juggernaut was actually one of the guys I really liked. Just simply because of the fact that he wore a huge red set of, like, I wouldn't even call it armor. I think it was more like flannel underwear.
It had plates on it.
You see, it always just looked like he was running around in a big red thong.
That's pretty true. All early superheroes.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I like the guy. I like the fact that once he gained a certain amount of momentum, you couldn't stop him. But Buddha, you know well, and Miguel, you know, but I love physics. So,
yes.
You know,
right.
I'm a physics guy.
An immovable object meets an unstoppable force. He was the unstoppable force. And he was one of your favorite characters, Isaac, which leads me to my next question, which is, who are our favorite X-Men? And when I say X-Men, I mean good guys who are part of the X-Men team at some point.
All right, so not just any mutant, physically the team.
Right, the team. Okay. And it could be obscurities. Come on, Miguel, who's your favorite X-Men?
Well, it's same as last time, who was my favorite superhero? It's Deadpool. Deadpool as the X-Men.
He was an X-Men,
I
guess.
He was an X-Men at one time.
Yeah, that was a very short-lived...
It was.
His outfit was gold and blue.
Really?
Yeah, he was an X. He's a mutant, technically.
I did not read that series.
Yeah, I think that series was leading up to him teaming up with Cable.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? I actually know your two answers. I'm just curious on which one you're going to pick. Who's your favorite X-Men, Isaac?
There's only one worth talking. That's Gambit. That's Remy LeBeau is a boss.
Remy LeBeau's a boss. Why is Remy LeBeau a boss?
You know, everybody likes to jump on me about this because they're like, "Oh, well, his only real power is that he charges things with energy. You know, he can positively charge, negatively charge anything to a certain degree, and then he can, you know, expel or expand all of that charge almost instantaneously and do different things with it." No one seems to realize that that's like the way that you can eradicate Wolverine with this.
Yeah.
Because if he just positively charges Wolverine and just throws him, that's over. Like, there's no, he doesn't come back from that. Kind of like the whole, you know, in order to kill Wolverine, it, you know, in the very end, they had to make him walk into the sun with Jean Grey's body. You know, so I
thought you were going to go the Wolverine route, to be honest with you.
You know what? I've never been a giant Wolverine fan. I am of the old Wolverine. This new age Wolverine that they've kind of put, like, in the movies and stuff, I'm not a huge fan of him. I like Hugh Jackman as an actor, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think Hugh Jackman is great.
He is a great actor, but I don't see that well being representing Wolverine.
Yeah, they try and dive too much into his backstory, and, you know, and so the parts of the backstory they show are cool. Like, when they finally went to Japan.
Yes.
They finally show his Japanese roots, and it's like, oh my god, okay, now we can talk about his wife, kind of. You know, now we can talk about his kid. Like, you know, now we can kind of start to go a little bit on that, but they didn't show, like, much of the really cool shit that he did.
Yeah.
You know, like in the original Origins books, you know, like, where he absolutely trashes Omega Red and leaves him in a glacier, which is a huge story later during the Dark Phoenix saga when he has to battle Omega Red again.
Yes.
So, you know. So I could talk about Wolverine all day, but if I had to talk about anybody, it's Remy LeBeau all day long. Gambit is boss. Tell me you don't want to be, basically your mutant power is gambling and womanizing.
Yeah.
That's true.
What male in the world, what male in the world doesn't want to be that guy?
See, when I started with X-Men, I was like, okay, Iceman. But when I got to meet Gambit, I was like, Gambit. Gambit.
See? I love Gambit as well, but I think kind of like what you were saying, every straight man holds a Axel Leeson, my buddy at work. Like,
oh, I'm sure I'm. Oh,
hold Gambit. A lot of men.
He has gorgeous hair.
And women too hold Gambit in their heart. But really, my favorite X-Men was actually an X-Men that doesn't exist in the current timeline, which is Cable. Right, Cable. Spoiler alert, Cable is the all...
I don't think you can spoil an active storyline.
That's true. He is the son of a clone of Jean Grey and Scott Summers from the future. And he actually, in fact, has the strong... He has telekinetic powers strong enough to control the Phoenix Force. Why you never really see him do any of that is because he's infected with a certain virus called the techno-organic virus. And in order to suppress that so he won't fall over dead, he uses most of his powers to suppress that. So a lot of the times when you see Cable fighting, he's fighting with about a tenth of his power, if not less. And he uses guns, grenades, a lot of aids in order to help him fight because
he uses aids. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, he uses aids and wipes people out with it.
That seems to be working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is he's in several third world countries.
Yeah, right now. Cable. You know what? They don't have Cable there yet.
You're probably. No, I don't know, man. Time Warner?
Yeah, Time Warner taking over the world.
We'll tie you up with coaxial cable.
I just switched to DirecTV, so thank God I don't have to deal with them anymore.
Let's hope DirecTV doesn't start dropping cables.
DirecTV, you should sponsor this podcast. Anyways, so, but, you know, we all love heroes, and I think heroes is really what pulls us in. But I feel a lot of the times, especially if you're a fan of comic books, heroes pull you in, sure. But what makes you stay a lot of the time is if they have good villains. And the X-Men have no shortage of that. They have, I would say, some of the best, most well-developed villains. And also some of the most sympathetic villains as well in all of the Marvel Universe. So, Isaac, who's your favorite villain? We're going to restrict this basically to X-Men.
The greater canon only.
Right. Okay. I mean, like, right. You know, like Thanos is out, you know, stuff like that. But yeah. Anybody who fights the X-Men.
That's a heck of a, I haven't read so long. I can't even think of the top of my head. I have to be honest. I really do like Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like the Apoc. A-Bok's pretty solid. I think he looks cool. From everything I've pretty much seen of him, I mean, he's a real one-track guy. And I think that's kind of what I like from my villains. I don't like this whole, you know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't do this, you know, maybe I should.
Him to be big and bad.
This guy shows up and he does work and that's it. And that's, if I was going to choose a villain, cause I mean, think about it. You watch any movie in the world, as long as the villain is doing what he's supposed to be doing, if he's on track, he's whooping ass, he's taking names, and the good guys are losing, hands down. It's the second he gets that little warm and fuzzy, and he's like, oh, I don't know if I should kill, if I should kill this person. I think about like a name, any James Bond movie. There's James, he's about to get killed. You know, the laser's coming toward him. You know, any last words, Mr. Bond, you know, kind of a thing. And then, like, you know, he gets that warm and fuzzy moment where he lets James speak, and then here comes the witty quip line, and he jumps off the table and he fries him with lasers.
Right.
And
so
that's what I like about Apocalypse is that
he's no bullshit.
He doesn't do that at all.
He doesn't shows revel up, in it.
No. He shows up, he kicks you in the teeth, and he wins. And the only reason he loses is if there's somebody there who's bigger than him, and that's pretty rare. Because the last few times he's been in pretty big fights, he was winning right up until the very last second, and then somebody had to go fight that. Like, you know, Galactus shows up, and it's like, really? Because there's only one guy in the universe that was going to show up at that exact moment and go, nope. No.
It's true. Professor X beat Apocalypse. That's another thing.
Yeah. For me, it will be Wolverine's eternal rival, Sabretooth.
Sabretooth. Interesting. Really, what do you like about Sabretooth, Miguel?
Well, I mean, he is basically like Wolverine, in terms of like powers, almost. But, he has a really complex story, especially with his son, who eventually becomes Sabretooth.
Well, in the movies, his special power is that he can give himself a manicure in like 2 seconds. Like, he can go like French tips, go.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, when I jumped into Sabretooth, as a favorite villain was, when it got revealed that his son also was a mutant and became Sabretooth, that he was an anti-mutant person. And when he learned about his past, that it totally destroyed him and he became more of an animal than a person.
Pretty good. I came from left field. I didn't think I was going to hear that. I would like to say Magneto here for myself, except in my book, Magneto, a lot of the time, especially modern Magneto, is more like an anti-hero than a villain. I mean, when you first read the X-Men, when I first read old X-Men comics, they didn't have the whole thing where you didn't feel any sympathy for Magneto. He led, literally, his band was called the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And he was pretty much,
should be, yeah.
And he pretty much was the big bad guy and you felt no sympathy for him. I actually like him better when he's kind of like, I would say, a Malcolm X figure, to where he went through the Holocaust and then he sees what he perceives as the same things happening to mutants and he doesn't want that to happen. So for that, I put him more as an anti-hero. As far as all of that, though, I think my favorite villain is actually Sebastian Shaw, because he really embodies, I would say, the kind of how you said you liked Apocalypse because he wasn't like a Bond villain. Sebastian Shaw is like the Bond villain.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is.
Of the X-Men universe. He basically only takes the most powerful mutants under his wing, and he creates the Hellfire Club, where basically he creates these mutants into socialites, kind of as seen in First Class. They didn't mess it up at all, I would say, but, I mean, especially in the comics, you get a more grandiose feeling, and you feel that these people truly think that they're superior to everybody else, as opposed to the X-Men who are trying to have peace, and then I would say his and Wolverine, or not Wolverine, him and Magneto's camp kind of cross over a little bit, but you could tell these people, whereas Magneto's like, every mutant for me, every mutant's all equal, and we're just trying to fight against humans, or anybody else trying to mess us up.
Well, why can't the bad guys have a cool kids club?
Right, and that's what Hellfire Club is.
X-Men was the cool kids club for the good guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like, you know, the, obviously we've got the LA Kings, so, you know, now Anaheim, now we've got the Ducks, so the bad guys get a cool kids club too. You know, it's not only the
are the Ducks the bad guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it, like, they, you know, they came later. They're based on a children's movie.
That's very true.
Yeah. But, you know, I approve that the villains finally have their own cool kids club. You know, they should feel like somebody. And no offense, you know, again, going back to physics, you know, I'm an entropy guy.
Yeah.
All about entropy. Okay, the only way to peace is through chaos. So
that's
that's true. Textbook. That's thermodynamics, homie.
That's true. But, like, I just like his concept. Also, his power's pretty cool. In the movie, they actually made him more powerful, really, than he is in the comics, because in the comics, he can only absorb kinetic energy when people punch him or hit him with an optical blast that's not heat-based or anything like that. Whereas in the movie, he was absorbing anything and throwing it back at people, which is more like Vulcan Summers, who is Scott's third brother. And Kevin Bacon playing Sebastian Shaw was... I looked at that and I was like, really? Because he looks nothing like Sebastian Shaw. And then when I saw him and I heard him and I saw that performance, I was like, okay.
Well, keep in mind, fucking your hero, the Green Lantern, was black originally, so...
Well, no, he was white originally. They turned him black in the 80s.
Oh, was that the 80s?
Yeah, right. No. I'm not saying anything about... I would just... whenever I look at a casting... Before, I always reserve
racist,
my...
racist, are you?
No. Man.
What is my land?
But whenever I look at a casting, I reserve my judgment for the end. But I saw Kevin Bacon, and I was like, that guy isn't thick. He's not dark-haired. And he's not short. Okay, we'll see how this goes. And he did great. So, I mean, you know.
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
He crushed it. And that was part of one of the, in my opinion, the best X-Men movies, which was X-Men First Class.
Sure.
Which leads me to my next question. Do we like the original cast as in X-Men 1 through 3? Or do we like the first class cast better for the X-Men? Let's start with you, Miguel. Which
one
do you prefer?
I like the original cast. What?
Why do you like the original cast? And, like, who really stands out as opposed to the new cast that you're like, no, that's more that character?
Well, I haven't seen, like, the latest movies, but the first ones, they were pretty good for me, and I like the synergy on the cast, all the characters were in it. So I think I prefer the first cast.
You haven't seen First Class?
No.
Oh, my God. Guys, we're going to scrap this podcast. We're going to go away for about 2 hours. We'll be back in a second.
That's fine.
He'll get there. Don't worry.
It's okay. Isaac.
I got all kinds of time. We can go get some 40s. We can do this.
Isaac, who do you like better, the original cast or the First Class cast?
That's an incredible question, brother. This is hard for me because any time that the Jean-Luc Picard is taking the helm of anything. I don't care if it's Star Trek, and I don't care if it's X-Men. I don't care where he is. I want to watch this guy.
You're a Patrick Stewart fan.
Yeah. His name is Jean-Luc Picard. Don't you fuck it up.
Okay. I apologize. His name is Jean-Luc Picard.
His mom named him Patrick Stewart. The world
named Jean-Luc Picard. Okay.
That's right. Don't you forget that. I really love everything that Patrick Stewart is in. That guy's an amazing actor. I've liked him since I was a kid, watching him on TV. I've liked every movie that he's pretty much ever been in. I can't think of anything he's ever been in that I don't like. As well as the individual who plays... I can't remember his name now. He's Gandalf.
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, those two guys together. What an amazing team. Like, if that was all... of the big names in the movie, and they had just taken a bunch of random people and just filled it in. That would have been fun. Wolverine, you know, I told you that Hugh Jackman, he's one of a kind. That was a 100% typecast. He's an asshole in real life too, from what I hear. So
it playing doesn't, it, the role and rated Wolverine.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they cast him for the role. I mean, he's a hairy ass Canadian who's pissed off all the time. So I get it. You know, there's some typecasting there, but I feel like that was really good. On the other side though, on the first class side, I really like the guy who they got to play Beast. I feel he plays Beast really, really well. People disagree about me. Like, when I say this, like, people, like,
they're... No,
like,
I think Kelsey Grammer did a good... That was one of the, in my opinion, not to cut you off too much, but no, in my opinion, as far as what happened in The Last Stand, I think Kelsey Grammer as Beast was one of the highlights for me.
I like both Beasts, really. Even in First Class, dude. The young Beast?
Yeah, the guy who plays...
I think he's absolutely amazing. I wasn't actually talking about Kelsey Grammer, but now that you mentioned, yeah, that's right. He was the Beast.
He was Beast in the original.
That's right. I wasn't even thinking about that, actually. I was talking about the younger
one. You were talking about the younger one. I apologize.
I don't know if you guys disagree with me, but I think they did. No. I think he did a great job. I think he picked up a role that is really tough to play, because you kind of have to be this guy who's, you know, a big blue monster who hangs upside down and, you know, does astrophysics. Like,
yeah.
Not something you do every morning in your shower. You know, so, yeah, that was really good. I also really liked the casting for, what is her name? Anna Frost. Even though you only get to see her for like moments in time, I think they did a really good job with that. I think she actually does a good Emma Frost. And I've heard a lot of flack about that too. They're like, no, she's too this, she's too that. You know,
you can't please everybody.
Yeah, you can't please everybody. I think she did an okay job. I would have to say I like the, as a whole, I'm not talking about individual performances. As a whole, I actually like the first class cast better. Just cause like, I also love Jean-Luc Picard.
That's right. That's his name. And, if you forget, I will swing at you.
And Ian McKellen. And I think those were the really two, and then Hugh Jackman, those were the standout roles. But like, you've got Michael Fassbender, who knocked it out of the park as young Magneto.
Yeah, Fassbender's great.
Yeah, he's pulling from something in his life to where there is legit anger behind that role.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, that's the best acting, is when you can take something from, I don't know what it is from his life, but obviously he's pissed off about something, because it really shines through in both of the performances he's put on so far. And he'll put on another one in Apocalypse.
Absolutely. The other one, the kid who's also in American Horror Story plays Quicksilver.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That guy is creepy, by the way. I don't care if it's an American Horror Story or whether he's playing Quicksilver. That kid just looks disturbed. I don't know if anybody else caught that, but he looks crazy.
That scene, though. So he'll play a
great Quicksilver.
That scene, like that, I liked a lot of parts of the new X-Men movie, Days of Futures Past, but that scene, I hate to be stereotypical because I don't like to like what everybody else likes, but I truly love that scene. It was, it was funny as shit.
On that, I really love what they did with Bishop, by the way. Just as a side note.
Oh yeah. Bishop looked
super cool.
Bishop's my second favorite character. So I was really, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe in Apocalypse. Maybe. Hopefully. Speaking of Apocalypse, what are our hopes for X-Men Apocalypse? What do we want to see happen? What do we care about? What do we not care about? Or what?
Silver Surfer.
Oh, they do have the rights.
Yes, they do.
They could do that. Well, okay, Isaac, elaborate on that. What hopes? Because, as we know right now, this movie's going to be set in the 80s, kind of like The First Class was set in the 60s, and then Days of Futures Past was in the 70s.
Yes.
This movie's going to be set in the 80s. So you're going to see young Jean Grey, young Scott Summers.
Does anybody still care about Jean Grey at this point? Like, except for my crazy ex-girlfriend who thought she was the first. Like, no. Other than that.
Yeah.
Other than Red.
No, like, people like her. She's definitely not my favorite, but.
I was going to say, it's just, Miguel, do you still?
She was never one of my favorites.
I know. Nobody cares about that show.
Okay.
They just write her out of the comic.
No. they could never write it. Scott's too much of a whiny bitch to ever have her written out.
They write him out too. That's why
he fucking infected eventually.
That's true. That's getting more into the comics. Scott Summers, if you guys don't know, is basically the new Magneto, effectively.
Yeah, people hate him more than they hate Magneto. Yeah, that's true.
But it's now a whiny bitch ass Magneto.
Yeah, whiny bitch ass Magneto, basically. Yeah, What are your hopes for this new movie? I mean, I think we've seen two great X-Men movies in a row. Some people didn't like the Wolverine movie. I thought it was a good movie. Oh, not the best X-Men movie, but I thought it was a good movie.
It wasn't terrible. I didn't go and demand my money back.
Yeah. And then when I saw Days of Future Past, it blew me away. It was... if Guardians of the Galaxy hadn't come out, that would have been my movie of the summer.
Yeah,
but Guardians came out, so.
Yeah, was pretty good. Guardians of the Galaxy. But, no, I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but I would actually like to see Silver Surfer do his job.
Yeah.
Just to show up and do his job. Cause he's just the herald. He's the herald of Galactus. That's all he is.
So you think that one of the next villains they're gonna fight is going to be Galactus?
I think they should go that route, yeah. I think that's a good way to close the movies. I think it's a good way to close the films.
Yeah.
But, cause clearly, you know, yeah, think of it in like the Batman movies. Okay. You know, yeah, in movie one, you know, they usually, you know, it's the Batman versus the Joker. It's the tried and true. Everyone knows who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. Everybody takes a side. You watch the movie, the good guy, quote, wins, and you move on. Okay. So, if they went through every single villain, that Batman has ever fought, how many movies would they have to do?
Hundreds.
What? Yeah, exactly. I mean,
even if they stab two a movie.
Then you've got the Riddler, and then you've got Catwoman, and then you've got Penguin, and then you've got Sandman, and then you've got the Alligator, and then, you know, they don't have time to do 24 movies in a row. It's not like it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy where they're going to do every half chapter of the entire Lord of the Rings for the rest of the time. You know, what they're going to do is, at least I hope, is that they're going to bring in Silver Surfer. You're going to see Silver Surfer come in. He's going to do his job. He's going to show up on Earth, and he's going to tell basically everybody that... And we're back.
Sorry about that, guys. The dogs decided to crash the podcast, so it's okay.
Who let the dogs out?
So you really want to see them fight Galactus, which I've never heard anybody with that opinion, because Galactus is generally, he has fought the X-Men. I'm not saying he hasn't. But he's generally like a more Avengers-esque or even Fantastic Four-esque villain.
Yeah. Well, the way that I see it, and this is my own opinion, you know, is just, this is the guy that they can close the series on. They can close it in a big way. And we all know that Galactus isn't going. Like, they're not going to win. You know, or well, not in the way that we all think so, you know. Like, going back to the James Bond analogies, you know, Goldfinger doesn't get, you know, turned into gold, kind of thing. It doesn't get to be gold. I mean, nobody gets cut in half with a laser. You know, Galactus comes in, they have to fight the last epic battle to save the planet, and then Galactus has to go home and try again. And they're gonna have to fight their way through Apocalypse, clearly. You know, so that, I think if they're gonna bring in Apocalypse, they have to bring in Silver Surfer, they have to bring in Galactus, and that's how they close the series out, and I'm cool with that.
I think that's great. I think maybe that might be later. I think for this movie, they're going to really focus in on Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen, which that's my ultimate curiosity right now is actually, they're going to bring the Four Horsemen in because they already foreshadowed it in the previous movie.
Oh, yeah.
At the very end when you saw the Four Horsemen sitting in back of Apocalypse. So, the question is, are they going to go with the original Four Horsemen, or are they going to do what they did in the comics, and when he shows up, he'll have one of the old horsemen, but then the other three are going to be modern mutants who he converted, in so facto. I would love to see Archangel.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say. Like, I feel like if they're going to go in the movie realm, they can keep the original four. They can. And they can do it without a problem. They're not going to have... It's not like in the comic books where they have to keep, you know, this wide open range so that, you know, somebody can pick it up and create the next universe or go to the next parallel dimension or do whatever. They have to close these movies out somewhere. So they can pick up the original Four Horsemen and they can ride them into battle and they can have them die almost any way they want. Because, I mean, let's face it, they're going to live through the first one. There's probably going to be the next one and You know, so I don't know. I think they'll keep the originals. I really do. I believe that.
Yeah, I think they will keep the originals.
What about you, Miguel? What, besides the Four Horsemen, or even talk about it if you want, but what are your hopes for X-Men Apocalypse?
Well, I actually like the idea of Isaac. I would like to see them do some crime scheme battle. It doesn't have to be Galactus. Could be Doom.
Doom.
Yeah.
Doom? Okay. I'm going a different direction here. Kind of like I said, I really want to see Archangel. I feel that he would add a lot. Especially, I love his powers. Let's just face it. He's got metal wings that he can shoot basically fucking steel blades at you like a bullet.
Yeah, the steel feathers.
Yeah, the steel feathers, man. I love that shit.
Does he have to make those by hand, or do they just...
They magically appear.
They just regrow after he shoots the
first. He's just sitting there.
I was just making sure.
He's sitting there fucking grinding on a workbench like, God damn.
How jealous is Batman right now? Because he has to make it. How mad do you think Batman gets when he misses with a batarang and he's like, fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, he got his Chinese workers.
Yeah, he's fucking... They make half of it in Shanghai and half of it in Hong Kong.
There you go.
But
do you have that toy when you were a kid? Did you have the Archangel toy that actually shot this stuff?
I did not have the Archangel toy. The only X-Men toy I ever owned was I had a Wolverine that his claws would shoot out of his knuckles.
So you were gay when you were young. No,
many people called me that. I like pussy through and through, but.
I'm sorry. I, you know what? I respect your decisions and, you know, I'm a big fan of the LGBTQTSALMNOP, whatever. I don't even know. I don't keep up with this shit. That's interesting though. Really, since you didn't have the toy, here's why I asked. The toy when you had it, the wings would come out and it shot two little discs, like Nerf discs. They had a little hole in them that shot two little discs.
Yeah.
And so it was just funny when you brought up that they shot, the actual, the metal blade. Feathers. Yeah, the bladed feathers. It was really funny when you shoot the little discs. It wasn't the same effect at all. I mean, it was cool for the time because it was, you know, keep in mind how old I am. So, you know, it was the 80s and that was the super coolest thing. Like,
which is when this movie's taking place. So, guys, you heard it here. He's not going to shoot feathers. He's going to be shooting discs out of his wings.
Nerf discs.
Nerf discs.
I'm all of it. If that's the truth, I'm buying the toy tomorrow.
Okay. So, Miguel, did you have any more hopes for X-Men Apocalypse or pretty much laid it out?
Well, right now, I'm just going to... I mean, I want something big, but I'll keep my expectations a bit low so I won't be disappointed. You know how it is. You know how it goes with movies.
Yeah, I know. Yep. It set the bar low. Man, what fucking... That Star Wars really did a number on all of us, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Everybody likes to hate on Jar Jar Binks. I don't know why. I would drink with that.
I don't mind Jar Jar Binks.
I think he should come back as a Sith Lord in Episode 7. You also made fun of me! And then just kill everybody.
Misa, kill you now!
Yeah. they probably did. one of the things, especially not in the first graphic novel, but in the second graphic novel, especially of X-Men, is very explored upon, is really the idea that Professor X is actually an analog for Martin Luther King Jr. to where, instead of black people, of course, it's mutants. And so he says, we should all get along and we should all just, passively get them to accept us. Magneto is a lot more militant. He was drawn a lot of comparisons were drawn to him, through Malcolm X, to where he wanted to alienate the mutants, wanted to kill all the normal humans in order for the mutants to thrive. So nothing like the Holocaust would happen to the mutants, even though it kind of has. And there have been wax and wanes on characters about both of those subjects. So Miguel, where do you stand on that? Do you think Professor X or Magneto's way of thinking is a little more right or to your view?
Well, if we start with standards of ethics, I would say, Xavier's, but I kind of like more Magneto's thinking. Part of it is also why of his thinking is of his background, since he was in a concentration camp when he was young. But yeah, I will totally support Magneto.
What about you, Isaac? I know you got something to say about this.
You know, I don't like either of their philosophies, to be honest. I think they're both massive extremes. And I understand why they are. You know, in this, it's a comic book. You know, this isn't, you know, they have to have these massive extremes. You've got the one guy who goes way farther than Martin Luther King ever did. Cause, I mean, if you look at what that guy actually said, he was trying to make it exactly the opposite of what we've become. He didn't want anyone to get any special favors or detriments due to the color of their skin. So if you're white or black or brown or whatever you are, you shouldn't get a job because you're black or specifically because you're Mexican. He wants it to be even. So whatever you are, that's what he wants. In this particular case, that's not the case with Xavier. It's not the case with Xavier. Xavier, he's a little bit different. Xavier seems to be more along the lines of he wants, you know, like, he's kind of a socialist hippie. You know, he really is. Hey, can we all just get along, man? We can all be friends.
Why do you have to be like that, man?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, if you were to put, you know, a doobie in Xavier's hand.
He'd
take a rip and he'd be like, can't we all just get along, man? Like, I feel like that's who he is. And so I was never an Xavier fan. I was never a big fan of Professor. As far as Magneto, he's the opposite side of the spectrum. He's Hitler. We have to go after everybody that's not as strong as we are. We have to create the master race of mutants, and we have to eliminate the Scourge. And that's where he's at. You know, he is a Hitler character. That's exactly part that's of who it, he was yeah, in the beginning.
Like I said, part of it is because of what happened in his childhood.
Yeah, I completely understand, and it's funny because of he was the one being tortured originally and being persecuted, and now he's the one doing the persecuting. You know, he's actually the one who's turning the tables around. So I'm not really big. Magneto fan either, to be clear. And that's why I've never, if I had to say, if I had to pick one, I'm probably along the lines of,
it's a tough choice.
I mean, as far as thesis goes, like, you know, the individual thesis of the villains, I'm probably along the lines with, Scarlet Witch. No, it just doesn't really care. It's kind of down to fight, fuck, and move on.
Yeah.
Like,
I hear you.
Like, I'm in for a good fight. Okay, well, I'm a little drunk. Let's get down. Might have a kid here or there. Create a couple extra powerful mutants. Well, I had a good time doing it. Time to move along. and not trying to, you know, push this socialist regime of let's all get along. Doesn't care. And also not trying to, you know, completely wipe out an entire existence of species, you know, an entire living race. So I can't really get down on either one of them, but yeah, I'm with Scarlet Witch on this one. redhead too.
I agree with you, Isaac. Like the thing is that you could go peaceful revolution and just kind of progressively go, but that's not going to stop the mutants from being raped and killed and stuff like that. You can be Hitler and you can kill all who oppose you. At that point, you're no better than the people you're trying to, you're no better than the idea you're trying to fight against. You are the idea you're trying to fight against. I kind of like modern Magneto, where he's like, hey guys, let's, if you're a mutant and you don't want to put up with the bullshit, come hang out with me on this island right here. We'll all hang out, we'll all sing Kumbaya right now. And if you want to stay in the normal world and not seeing Kumbaya with us, cool, man. You stay over there. But if you come over here, we're going to get you work. We're going to get you a job. You're going to, you know, you're going to hang out, and we're all going to have a good time. So now the Omega Sentinels went and killed everybody, so I put a big stop in that. But
yeah, well, that's what happens when you know, the robots.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think one of the reasons, and we discussed this earlier in the podcast, one of the reasons we were so entranced by these characters is they do have powers that none of us have, of course.
Right, yeah.
Except for you can be a charming womanizer.
Yeah, hey.
You can
be. That's a tangible power.
It is.
Is that my mutant power, Chris?
If yeah. you, and that, see, that's where we're going, Isaac. So if you had a mutant power, what would you have and what would your nickname be? Isaac, you don't have to come up with the nickname right now. You can think about that, but that's super what solid. Would your power?
I guess I never really thought about it. I would probably want to be able to, see through walls.
Like x-ray vision?
Like, yeah, like turn it on and turn it off. Like, I don't want to see through all walls forever. Like, I thought about this as a kid. If you saw through all walls forever, like they weren't there, how many times a day do you just run into something? How many times a day are you just like, oh, fuck me.
or see something that you did not want to see.
Right, yeah.
Oh, or, you know, my eyes! Yeah, yeah.
You go to, you know, say hi to your grandma and she's in the can. And it's like, oh, yeah. Jesus. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
and you close your eyes and you can still see through your eyelids.
Well, at that point, you're taking out your prayer beads and, you know, you're giving like 10 Our Fathers, you know, like you feel terrible at that point. You know, I guess I would want to see through stuff. And the reason why is that that takes, for me as a person, when I can see what is going on in another room, I can start to, I can preempt certain things that I wouldn't, that would normally cause me anxiety. I get a lot of anxiety when I go places and I feel like I'm not supposed to be there. Like, you know, have you ever gone to a job interview in a building where they have, like, you know, just one of those little press the button and someone will be with you and it's just like a square room with two doors.
Yep.
And
I hate those.
And you press the button and nothing happens and you're just like, okay, wait 20 minutes, nothing happened. You're about to walk out, some random old dude.
Yeah.
I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. I made you stop jacking off the porn in the back room. I'm here for the interview. You know what? Maybe I'm not. I think I'm lost. I think this is the wrong building.
Wrong building. I'll see you later.
I would definitely, I would want to be able to see through walls. Or see through objects. Not just walls, like objects. I would want to be able to see into certain objects. Because I think that would make me the greatest mechanic in the entire world.
That's true, because you could just look at a car and be like, oh, this is broken.
Yeah, okay. There's a problem.
Yeah,
I see a lot of utility for that. Some people are like, oh, you don't want to, you know, shoot lasers at fly or anything. Like, no, I think because I could really just get away with being a regular human being at that point. No one would know. You know, it's not like flying where somebody looks at you and they go, oh shit, that guy's flying. That's a mutant. I gotta fuck that guy up, or you know, and, whatever the case might have. If some chick doesn't know if I'm looking right through her clothes at her tits. She has no clue. I'm excited about my life. I can still be polite to her and be staring straight at her tits.
That's true.
You know, like, or, you know, like I said, I could be a mechanic. I could be a very successful mechanic my entire life. No one would ever know. And everyone in the community would think I was a nice guy. And like, this guy always knows what's wrong with my car. He's never wrong. and it would be great. It would be great. Like, and I mean, you know, if you think about it, I could get a job as an engineer at that point. Like, if I wanted to, I'd probably work for Ford.
Yeah.
So
we're having this huge problem with an engine. Huh? It's right here.
So would your mutant name be the mechanic?
I don't know.
Wrench.
Yeah, sure, dude. No, fucking call me Ratchet, dude. That's Ratchet. The new thing, right? Isn't that the new urban?
I don't know if that's new.
I'm so old. I don't even know. I'll be Ratchet, bro. Fuck yeah.
What about you, Miguel? What would be your power?
Me? Well, I'm between two. It's a teleportation, like a Nightcrawler. Or
it would be sweet.
Being able
They're to, like, fuck, I gotta go to work. Poof.
Yep. Or break anything down to atomic level and rearrange it as I please.
That is interesting. So what would you then call yourself, Picasso? Or?
Could be.
Well, put your nose on your shoulder.
It still works.
What would your superhero name be, Miguel? What would your mutant name be?
Not really sure. That's something I really never think about.
Particle Man. Does everything that a particle can.
What the fuck?
You never seen that?
Never seen that?
You don't remember that?
No, what's that?
Oh my god, you're terrible. Afterward, I will show you the video. I apologize to everyone listening that he doesn't know who the
Buddha, did you even know the internet?
I know.
The internet, bro. You know what? Hey, look.
I thought that was for nerds.
Al Gore, back in the 80s, created this thing we call the interwebs.
Okay.
You should try it sometime. It's amazing. It's crazy. There's information out there from forever.
I thought the computers were just for nerds.
It might be.
I mean, next you're gonna tell me there's porn on there.
thousands.
I can't. I haven't found any yet, but I hear they're like unicorns. They're out there.
Oh, okay. So rare, but you can find them.
Right.
So.
How about you, Buddha?
I would like. It's kind of like it. Okay, I would like telepathy, and it's kind of a very similar reason that Isaac wants X-ray vision.
See that, that
but would, a lot more sociopathic is I
don't want to be in your head ever.
Well, I want to be able to turn it off and turn it on.
See, I don't. I think that's the problem with telepathy. That's the downfall. So you don't get to choose. It's just like you walk by somebody. It's like, oh, did you just picture my cock? It's like, what?
Well, if I could turn it on and turn it off, just that, cause I work in customer service, I would like the ability to really search and see what people's problems were.
Sure.
And be able to fix them or be able to do something to move forward with them. Also, I mean, you know, telepathic suggestion wouldn't be above me. I'd be at the bank, man, I'm really broke. Oh, that guy's got $3 million in the bank. Hey, pull 500 out for me and give it to me.
Wow.
And no, I'd fucking steal money from people.
Oh, okay. Well, the Socialist Party is out there. They're actively recruiting. Barack Obama's like the number one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard he's the president. It's like a comic book. They have a black president. It's like, you know, next thing you know, Buddha's going to be... Yeah, seeing into people's minds. I'm going to be undressing hot chicks all day long. It's great.
Fuck yeah.
I'm all about it.
So, the mutants have...
What would be your hero? Or
what would be my hero name? Machine Gun, kind of like my last name, Machingo. So, they'd hear the name Machine Gun. They'd be like, dude, I got to put armor on. This guy's going to shoot a bunch of guns at me. So I get to the fight, and they've got like 10 pounds of armor, a Kevlar vest, and a fucking helmet on. And I'm like, bitch, telepathy.
I hope it's not Juggernaut's helmet. Are you up a creek?
That's true. If it's if they have Juggernaut's helmet, I am up a creek without a paddle. At that point, I'd have to get small children to fight for me and try to take his helmet off.
It could work.
Yeah.
You could work.
You stack him on top of each other. And then, you know, eventually, you know, he'll kill a couple thousand, but, you know, we will prevail in the end.
Turn two time, walk up.
So, the mutants all have these incredible powers, and with them, sometimes it charges their personality, sometimes it doesn't affect them so much. But, you know, very few times have we seen the mutants have hobbies other than training and honing their powers. So, if the mutants themselves were normal people, who, like, would they have hobbies, and what hobbies would they have?
I think Scott Summers would be a drag queen.
I hope he would be a drag queen, because that would confirm a lot.
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost certain that's how that would happen. I don't know. Dude, that would be... That's intense. Like, it's kind of blowing my mind at the moment. Excuse me. Watch out for the smoke, David. What hobbies would they have if they were normal people? I imagine that they'd probably do some pretty cool stuff. Are we evening this out, like with their actual personalities?
Let's
say they weren't mutants. Are we assuming they're maintaining their actual personalities?
They are maintaining their personalities.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, bar none, Gambit becomes a gambler.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He just becomes true.
He's already a gambler.
He just becomes a more abusive gambler. Which I'm completely fine with.
I have a feeling that Rogue...
I really want Rogue to become a hooker.
No. I think she'd be a dark brooding fan fiction author that would just write dark brooding fan fiction about pop culture.
See, I'm really hoping for the hooking thing, because I would pay for that at least twice a week. I'm going to go twice a week.
I think Emma Frost would be a hooker before Rogue was a hooker.
Frost?
I can see that.
You're dating a blonde right now, so...
Everybody makes mistakes.
Heather, we love you. But kidding.
You think about it. Like, Miguel, I mean, like... Okay, let's take, Professor X. He'd probably still be a teacher at some length. Do you disagree?
No.
No, he'd probably still be a teacher. What would Magneto's hobby be?
Magneto's hobby...
Would he be a metal worker?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think that guy would end up going into, like, public speaking.
Yeah. He will be a politician.
You know, yeah.
A politician.
I imagine, either that or, like, what was that guy's name? Jack LaLanne or whatever? The fucking, you can do it. You can be bigger, stronger, faster. You can live your whole life and be healthy.
Speech motivator?
Yeah.
Oh, motivational speaker.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I think it would happen if you ask me. And then there's no way to know. You know, there obviously there's no way to know. But I would tell you, that's what I think.
Well, this is just a fun question.
Yeah.
We do a fun question at the end of all of these. What about you, Miguel?
I got another one. Probably Storm would be a doctor.
Storm maybe. Would be a doctor, huh? That's interesting.
I mean, from her origins, she used to take care of her land with the weather.
Yeah, right.
So if she had no powers, which other way would she be able to help them to take care of the sick?
Right.
Plus, she got the personality for it.
Right.
Yeah, she's kind of, can be intense, but also gentle.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
Here's a good one. What does Shadowcat do with her life?
She is primed to be.
Is she just a waitress the rest of her life? Cause she really doesn't.
I think she'd be a secretary, man.
Yeah, I don't.
I think she'd be a secretary.
The coolest part of this chick is she walks through walls. And I mean, other than that, unless you guys disagree with me, her whole personality is really...
It's really simple.
Yeah, it's really dry. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of the X-Men like that, because I think she's fucked more of the X-Men than any other X-Men.
Well, to me, every time I read about that chick, it's like, she kind of reminds me of Rey from Evangelion.
Yeah.
The soulless clone.
I wouldn't say she's soulless. She's just very typical, like, especially like if you ever watched the cartoon X-Men Evolution, which was them in high school. Very much the typical
high school girl.
Like, there's nothing really that stands out a lot about her. Rey is emotionless, and that itself stands out a little bit.
Right.
Whereas, Shadowcat doesn't even have that. But I mean, I think, honestly, I think Wolverine would basically be himself still. Right. I think he'd still be a soldier.
Right.
I think he'd still fight. I think even if he didn't have his metal claws and or even his bone claws or anything, his healing factor, I think he'd become like a boxer or a UFC fighter or something.
Sure.
I think just because of his personality, he's so abrasive and he's so standoffish a lot of the, that's more like Scott, but he can be standoffish. His personality just permeates anything he's doing at the time.
Right, right.
And I don't think taking away his claws would do anything about that.
Yeah, it's possible. I see where you're going with it.
I think Remy would go deeper into gambling. What I would like to see is, I think Nightcrawler would be a priest.
Yeah.
If he didn't have his powers.
Dude, that's all he wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah, really, like, he really, who would be the Magic the Gathering nerd?
Oh, jeez.
That'd be Bobby?
No.
No,
he's way too cool for that.
Nightcrawler might.
If he had exposure to it,
I could see that, because he'd actually, you know, that'd be something he'd think about. If you want me to be honest with you, it'd probably end up being somebody like Bishop or Cable or somebody who kind of doesn't really have a whole lot of friends, is kind of their own individual. Okay, I mean, you know, think about some of the Magic players that we've run into in our lives. You know, it's a lot of them are mostly, at least the professional guys, are, you know, kind of
solidary.
Yeah. You know, like, look at Keebler. You know, nice guy. I mean, I met him. He's a great dude. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, he kind of lives in his own library castle. He has, you know, the perfect life. So.
Were you playing Keebler online? Who was it you were playing online?
No, I think it was Ochoa.
David Ochoa?
Yeah. I ran into him randomly in a draft.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But, anyways, guys, that was the sixth ever. Mystery Nerdcast. Damn, I always want to call this the Nerdist. Chris Hardwick, if you're listening, add me to your network. I love you. Until next time, guys, we'll see you later.
Take care, everybody.
Hi, guys, and welcome to the fourth ever Mystery Nerdcast. I'm your host, Chris Budamashingo. Well, that was the X-Men episode of the Mystery Nerdcast. I hope you guys all enjoyed. We are going to be posting on iTunes soon, so I hope you like and subscribe.